Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Cy Kellett, your host here with you. And now, can science tell us anything about life and death? Can it tell us when life begins, when it ends? Maybe there's some gray area surrounding the beginnings and endings of life. This hour, we discuss the science of life and death. If you have a question or comment about the science of life and death, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Dr. Stacy Trisenkos. Dr. Trisenkos earned a bachelor's degree in science from East Texas State University and a doctorate in chemistry from Penn State University, which is one of them fancy Ivy League schools. She has a master's degree in dogmatic theology from Holy Apostles College and Seminary. She's the author of Science Was Born of Christianity, The Teaching of Father Stanley Yaki, and Particles of Faith, A Catholic Guide to Navigating Science. And she's got a brand new book here with Catholic Answers, 20 Answers Bioethics. Dr. Stacy Trisenkos, thanks for being with us.
Hello, Cy. Thank you so much for having me back on the show.
We generally have fun, so I'm glad to have you back on the show. I forgot to mention, though, you're one of the featured speakers at our great big huge giant national conference coming up September 27th through 30th.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that so much. I can't wait for it to get here. And I think what I'm most looking forward to is getting a chance to wear my black cowboy hat next to Jimmy Akin wearing his white cowboy hat.
That is going to be the social media picture of the event. But have you square danced before? Did I ask you this before? Have you ever square danced?
No, I don't square dance. I don't, but I can do the Cotton Eye Joe.
Well, I wish I knew what that was. It sounds good. Because Jimmy's going to be teaching us to square dance there. That's part of the big conference.
Yeah. I'm all game for learning how to do that.
Oh, all right. Okay, very good. So this brand new book, Bioethics, 20 Answers, was it hard to write it? Was it hard to distill bioethics down to 20 questions?
It was very, very hard to do that because what you have to do to write, I mean, some people think it's harder to write a long book than it is to write a short book, but I disagree. It's very hard to narrow down the entire field to the most cogent things. It's like getting only a few minutes on stage to tell someone what the most important thing is about your life. And so what you have to do is you have to dive into the entire field, and then you have to figure out what are the most important questions to ask, and then you have to answer them as cogently as possible. So you have to really get beyond the whole thing and turn around and look back at it and decide for the reader, what is this that I want you to know when you walk away from reading about bioethics?
Let's say we could distill it down to, say, I don't know, the two most important things you should know about bioethics. Can you tell me the two most important things to know?
Yeah, the two most important things, because I really like first principles. I really like, because I have a lot of kids, I really like being able to put your finger on the thing that you need to remember. And with bioethics, what I figured out was the number one thing to remember for Catholics is to remember what personhood is, what the church defines as personhood. And it ties in with what Jason was saying in the previous hour. We have to remember that a person is body and soul. And if you understand that a person is a body and soul made in the image and likeness of God, and I explained the Trinitarian meaning of that, how the Holy Trinity revealed to us what it means to be human, to have intellect and free will and to practice virtue, you have to keep in mind that's what it is to be human. If you don't remember that we're made in the image and likeness of God, and you don't remember that we're soul and body, then you have no logical reason not to conclude, like atheists do, that we're just highly evolved animals and that when we die, we're just worm food. So that Catholic definition of person is one. The next thing flows from it. Don't kill an innocent human person. Okay, so almost every bioethics question flows from that.
So get the premises properly in order there, that every human being, body and soul, is made in the image and likeness of God, and don't kill innocent people. That actually makes a great deal of sense. As a matter of fact, a lot of life you'll get right if you just start with those two.
That's my mommy version of bioethics, because it's true, though. If you think about it, what is behind not using birth control? Well, not using birth control has more to it, like don't break the natural marital embrace. But also, you don't want to take a risk of killing an innocent child. You don't want to take the risk of it having the abortifacient effect. What's behind not using in vitro fertilization? You don't want to be put in a position to say, what do I do with these children I don't want to raise yet? Put them in a freezer and store them or donate them to science. What's wrong with stem cell research on human embryos? Don't kill the innocent human person. What's wrong with organ donation, or what could go wrong with organ donation? The doctors who don't understand fully life or death or whether you're actually dead may, in their eagerness to get your organs, kill an innocent person. So you can narrow down much of it, not 100% all of it, but the big things, you can narrow it down to that.
So I went just listening to the litany that you went through. I don't disagree with any of it, but I see I feel like I can see the question, particularly at one point where you say not to destroy an embryonic human being, not to destroy a human embryo. Okay, so what about the person who says, yeah, but how do you even know that that God has even put the soul in that creature yet?
That is a question that I took up early in the book. When does human personhood begin? Because I'm well aware of the debates about this. I've debated with atheists. I've debated with other Christians and other Catholics. And chemically speaking, like as a scientist, I know that we cannot, and actually I have to explain this a lot of times, we cannot reduce the beginning of human life or personhood to any chemical events. We can't say, when all the atoms and molecules are right there, that's when the soul enters the body or is united with the body. We can't do that. And so we have to give that up. We can't actually define a precise scientific beginning of ensoulment. But what we can do is what the church says. The church says, from the very first moments of its existence, all humans are to be respected as persons. And if we do that, then we're always going to get it right. So from the very first moment of existence, as far as we can tell, and as far as we can tell biologically, that would be the moment of sperm and egg fusion. The minute that the mom thing and the dad thing meet and say hello, that's the beginning of the new person. And so although we don't know for sure exactly that chemical series of events is when ensoulment occurs, we act like it is because that's the best we can do. And we're supposed to take it that seriously.
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. We're talking bioethics. We're talking the science of life and death with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos. Your calls are welcome, 888-31-TRUTH. Before we go to the break, Stacy, I just want to let you know something. I want to remind people again that you're one of the featured speakers at our big conference, and you just go to CatholicAnswersConference.com to find out more about that. It's going to be great because we're going to spend days talking about faith and science with really, really smart people and with Stacy. No, just kidding. among them, Stacy. But I have to tell you this before we go to the break. The internet seems disappointed that you're not wearing one of your funny science shirts.
I know. I'm trying to be more serious these days. I figured I just ran through all of them. I'd be a little more serious today in my turtleneck.
Yes, you have a certain gravitas in your turtleneck. Okay, well, that explains it. Internet, calm down. Maybe next time she'll wear one of the funny science shirts. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll get to your calls for Dr. Stacy Trusenkos on science and the science of life and death right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, everyone. This is country music artist Colin Ray. Do what I do and keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Summer is upon us, and though the temperatures are going up, the prices are coming down during Catholic Answers' first ever summer book sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, dozens of great books are available for $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. This is the time to load up on solid Catholic books for you, your friends, and your family. The spectacular online event offers savings of 50% and more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host. host of esteemed authors, evangelists, and apologists. We've even got all of the books in our Catholic Answers Classics series marked down. Log on now to shop.catholic.com and take advantage of what will be one of the most exciting sales of the summer. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers. Log on to shop.catholic.com and start saving today.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited-time offer we've got right now on subscriptions to our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, we'll give you a digital subscription to the magazine for free. Subscribe today by calling 818-487-2011 or logging online to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. Better yet, become a two-year subscriber and we'll up the ante by dropping the price $20. That's a saving of $10 to $20 plus a free digital subscription when you sign up for a subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now. This is our best offer of the year and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com today.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Stacey Trusenkos is our guest this hour. She is a PhD in chemistry, but also a master of theology. And so we turn to her when we have science and faith questions, and we're happy to do so. She's going to be one of the speakers at our big conference. But I also should mention that later this summer, the summer issue of Catholic Answers Magazine, I think it's the July, August, or August, September issue, is going to be devoted completely to this topic as well, but it's going to be different material. It won't be the same material you'll get at the conference. And so it's an entire faith and science issue. Dr. Trusenkos is in there. I believe you're writing for that, right?
Yes. Yeah. There's one of my articles in there about evolution and creationism and Genesis and all that fun stuff.
Oh, very good. Okay, cool. And you can get a subscription to the magazine now, and you'll get that if you're subscribing now. Then you'll get, I think before the end of June, you're going to get the Faith and Science issue. That'll be your first issue that'll come. You get $10 off a one year subscription, $20 off a 2 year subscription, and you get the free digital subscription with both of those. So you can refer back to any article you want in the digital archives there of the magazine. A great gift as well. If you want to give it to somebody, just go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. This hour, again, we're talking with our good friend, Dr. Stacey Trusenkos, who will be one of the featured speakers at our conference coming up later in the year, in September 27th, to be precise, here in San Diego on Faith and Science. And we're talking about the science of life and death. Dr. Trusenkos has a brand new 20 Answers book that she wrote for Catholic Answers. It's in the 20 Answers series, and it's on bioethics. She also has a very loud computer. 888-318-7884 is our number. Was that our computer or hers? It was us? Oh, come on now. I blamed her. All right.
I think it was my phone.
Oh, it was your phone? All right. You're very popular. Are you ready to take calls?
Yes.
Okay. John, who's listening on the Catholic Answers app, and that means he's very smart because he downloaded the Catholic Answers app onto his phone. John, your question for Dr. Trusenkos.
Well, I may have missed some of her comments on personhood because of a bad connection, but it seems to me that when we study God's creation, we get the answers to all these questions. It's my opinion that personhood isn't this convoluted thing. It's you get your personhood when you get your DNA. That's who you are as a person. That makes me who I am. It makes Stacy who she is, and it makes Cy who he is. My issue with this scientists claiming to be scientists and then being devout in the Christian or Catholic faith is science clashes with the Catholic faith. There are stories about a talking serpent. There are stories about a talking donkey. There's a story about a young Jewish girl impregnated by a ghost. There's stories of dead saints all rolling out of their graves and walking around Jerusalem for a couple of days. Jesus knew so little about bacteria that he ranted at people for washing their hands before they ate food. And the whole story of Genesis kind of starts with this, you know, presto, let there be light. These are the words of a conjurer or a poor magician or something. And so I don't really see how you can explain away all these things that are abundantly clear to anybody that looks at God's creation, that we don't have talking donkeys, and that every woman who's ever been pregnant knows that a ghost does not impregnate a woman. It doesn't go down like that. And yet you're coming up with all these things that you've determined what makes a person. I didn't hear whether you commented on the DNA, which is actually how a person becomes a person.
Okay, John, thank you. Stacy, I'm going to take that as a, is it possible to be Catholic and a scientist or to take science seriously? I will just add before you do that, I don't believe Jesus ever ranted about anything, but that's a quibble. But your response to John.
Well, so let me just say, science was born of Christianity. Like, the view that we see the universe the way we pray in the opening part of the creed, when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe that God created everything. And so science is incomplete as it is. If you understand it with some humility, science doesn't understand everything, but when you do science and when you learn about science and when you become a scientist, you are studying the handiwork of God. So for me, that's the first principle or the basic one-liner about why a Catholic should love science. Whether you become a scientist or not, you should understand that when you go out there and learn about how atoms and molecules work, and bacteria and photosynthesis and the digestive system and even the way the bodies decompose after we die. If you go out there and learn about how nature works, you're studying creation. You're studying the handiwork of God. So that's fundamentally how. Now, the next part of your question, though, about how can all these things that happen in the Bible, how can that be? Well, they're some of the things you mentioned are miracles, like the virgin birth, the resurrection of Christ. Those are miracles. And miracles make perfect sense if you understand science, because if God created atoms to do their thing like they do so amazingly, consistently, and well, if God created the universe, which is a consistently interacting totality, then God can certainly work miracles whenever he pleases, and do that for our benefit, to show us that he loves us, that he's there, and to lead us to heaven. And so I don't think there's any conflict at all with a Catholic loving science, or with definitely with a Catholic or a scientist believing in miracles. It only makes sense that there would be miracles.
John?
I'm in total agreement with you on this study of God's creation. You know, that is what science is. It's the study of God's creation. Total agreement. What I'm not in agreement with you is these miracles is the study of ancient books. You're saying that it's almost religious blasphemy. You're saying that God's creation is wrong and your ancient books are correct. And that you should take notice of that. And when you study the history of these ancient books, it gets worse, not better. But God created the creation. We can study that and learn from it. And it's unquestionable that God's creation is true. We didn't create God's creation. He did that. And so when we learn from that, from science, we compare that to these ancient books that were created by man. Man was the one that decided which books would be included in the Catholic Bible. It certainly wasn't decided by God. And it shows proof that these ancient books are wrong, that they're inaccurate, that they're false, because they clash with God's creation. And it's plain as day for everybody to see when you read the stories in the Bible, that's not true. And we can look at God's creation for the actual truth. So that's my kind of point. And I agree with you totally that science is a wonderful way to learn, and we benefit when we study God's creation. We learn things like washing our hands and how to travel in outer space and how to do surgeries, all kinds of things we've learned that, and sometimes we learn things that get misused, I admit that, you know, when you're talking about weaponry and things like this, but God's creation is undeniably true. Ancient books have known to be false, are false, and these particular ancient books that make up the Catholic Bible are obviously false.
Because all right, well, John, you're making a strenuous and discussable points. So I appreciate that. But let's let Stacy discuss them a little bit. Stacy, Dr. Trusenkos?
Well, I'm trying to understand. It sounds like, okay, so I misunderstood what you were saying at the beginning. It sounds like your real point is that the Bible is wrong, that we should be Catholics and not have the Bible. Is that what you're saying?
And well, I think the Catholic faith is based on the Bible and the teachings of the Catholic Church, both of which clash with what we learn about God's creation when we study it through the sciences.
Okay, here I'm going to ask you to give a specific example of that, that there's a way in which Catholic teaching or something in the Bible conflicts with what we learn by studying creation.
Okay, so we have the virgin birth of Jesus, that a ghost impregnated Mary when she was a young girl. She was actually engaged to be married to another man, which is the exact opposite of Catholic morality, as well as not the way a person becomes pregnant.
That's an example. I thought that Dr. Trusenkos dealt with that example. I want to be clear, just so that people know, we do say that Mary, that it is the Holy Ghost who that incarnated Jesus within the body of Mary. But we don't say that the Holy Ghost is a ghost in the English language. We mean it like the German Geist, spirit, Holy Spirit. So in case that was unclear, we mean God. We don't mean like Casper or Blackbeard's ghost or something like that. But Dr. Trusenkos, the point seems that John seems to be making, we go back now to the virgin conception and birth. He says that conflicts with what we know about creation. Is he correct about that?
It might conflict with what we know about science, but all miracles do. And my point earlier was that if we understand that the universe is a consistently interacting totality, it also makes sense that God, who created and holds everything in existence, can work miracles whenever he chooses to, especially for the incarnation. It would be something special. But I honestly don't know what to say to you about the Bible, John, what you're asking about that. I mean, I could, if you gave me some time, I could find some resources that you could read about that. But that's not a bioethics question like I was prepared to answer. Except to say that as Catholics, we do rely on scripture and tradition and the catechism, which explains what we believe through scripture and tradition. And so I would just urge you to be very cautious before just denying all of that, because it sounds to me like you don't really understand where the Bible came from or how the Bible is interpreted by Catholics.
John, I'm going to say thanks for the call. As a matter of fact, I invite you to call back anytime. These are discussions we love to have, but we have to move on because there are lots of callers, and we are just slightly off our topic, which is bioethics today. 888-318-7884 is the number. Again, thank you, John. We go now to Michelle in Jacksonville, Florida. Michelle, you are on with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos.
Hi. I'm happy to be calling in. I've never called in before. I've got a real burning issue in my household.
Okay.
about children who've been conceived in vitro, because my oldest daughter just turned 17, my son is just turning 15, and I have a 12, 10, and 6-year-old. But the high school here, Bishop Kenny, and I am glad they have done it. You know, they've made a stance on a number of issues, but one is about in vitro fertilization. And we've unfortunately gone into a real sticky area here with my teenagers, because they have so many peers who were conceived by in vitro fertilization.
So if I may just get a clarification from you, Michelle, and I'm super glad that you did call, and this is your first call. We're happy to have you. What is the position that the high school took on in vitro fertilization? They're teaching that it's wrong or that it's immoral?
It's abortion and other issues. But I'd say the two, you know, life issues are, you know, abortion and in vitro fertilization, of course, assisted suicide. But it's really difficult. I don't know how to discuss this with my daughter who has told me, you know, a handful of her friends that I know, they come from lovely Catholic loving families, and they were conceived by in vitro fertilization. And I've just tried to explain, I'm really glad they're here. They're lovely. I adore them. But
that's a tough one.
Unfortunately, they're coming into the world the way that happened. They've got a lot of siblings who did not make it, and it's just, this is a tough one. And I just, you know, it's abortion. You know, I've never understood how. To me, it's a no-brainer. You know, not to kill a conceived child in the womb. You know, we should not kill people before, you know, like God, you know, from conception to God's, you know, his last breath, you know. But when you've got children who are, you know, approaching 20 now in their teens.
Who were, created by in vitro fertilization. It is a wonderful question. If you can hang on 2 minutes, we'll get an answer from Dr. Stacey Drosenkos right after this.
Your questions, Catholic answers, live.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Sharing the gospel with family and friends can be challenging. It's especially hard when they won't even hear you out because of all the mental roadblocks they've built up. This is Carlo Broussard, and in my new book, Prepare the Way, my aim is to help you tackle that essential first step to apologetics and evangelization, getting people to listen with an open mind. Even our best witness can bounce right off folks like these if we don't prepare the way first, breaking down barriers and leaving minds and souls free to encounter the truth. I'll give you evidence and arguments and step-by-step strategies based on asking the right questions to help them overcome their obstacles and make a straight path for the Lord. Order your copy of Prepare the Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Trump administration rolls back the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate.
U.S. bishops calling for the total elimination of nuclear weapons.
Pope Francis offers prayers for the victims of the California wildfires.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
Your link to news headlines Catholics count on at the top of the hour. Weekdays on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Answers Live. We're talking the science of life and death with Dr. Stacey Drosenkos. And Dr. Drosenkos will be one of the featured speakers along with Father Terrence Ehrman and Raymond Burke, Cardinal Raymond Burke, who will give the keynote at the banquet dinner of our great big giant faith and science conference that's coming up this September 27th through 30th at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla. And it is that La Jolla is about the most beautiful part of San Diego, and late September is about the most beautiful time to be here. Also speaking at the conference with Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Carlo Broussard, our own president, Chris Check, will be giving a talk. Father Hugh Barber will be preaching throughout. And we'll be doing the radio program live from the conference floor one day. And also, if you sign up before July 2nd, you get a pack of Jimmy Akin M&Ms. Early bird pricing also between now and July 2nd. That's not that much time left. And a full conference ticket includes the banquet dinner with keynote address by Cardinal Burke. Don't miss this. Go to CatholicAnswersConference.com. CatholicAnswersConference.com. And Stacy, you said you're going to hang out there for the whole conference. You're going to be giving the opening talk. Is that right? You're giving the opening talk?
Yes, I'm giving the opening talk. And my point there is to just sort of blow away all the cobwebs. It's like we're going in to remodel a new house. And my job is to gut the place so that all these other speakers can put things back where they're supposed to go.
Oh, beautiful. And you'll be wearing your black cowboy hat. Jimmy will be wearing his white cowboy hat. And you can, and this is also the case with Jimmy. I mean, he has every right to wear the cowboy hat. But you are a horsewoman as well. You did a horse, like, I don't even know how to describe this. It was like a combination retreat horse camp that you did earlier.
It was amazing. Yeah. Two of my daughters and myself went to this Imagine Harmony retreat at a horse ranch owned by a Catholic family in Montana called the Rocking Z Ranch. And they have like 70 horses and a whole bunch of acreage on all these mountains. And it's a guest ranch. And they want to have 1 week a year where it is strictly Catholic. Father Sean Raftus, who he's one of the characters in that movie Tag that's coming out this summer. One of the guys. Yeah. Have you heard of that?
No, I didn't know that.
So I met him. He's one of the guys that the movie's made about. And so it's really cool. And he's a great, great priest. And he held mass every day out in the mountain lodge. And he even held mass on Friday up on a mountain, literally on a mountain. But we rode horses every day. We talked about faith and science and the difference between animals and human persons. And it was just like, it was radically different from anything I've ever done before. And they're going to have another one next year. We're trying to decide on the date right now, but just beautiful. If you really want to talk about creation, you can get out and experience creation like nothing I've ever seen before. And the horses were good. I mean, my girls have a new respect for mommy because I rode horses in rodeo like events when I was a child, and I won the barrel racing contest
at the camp.
I did. I tied with another mother, but we blew away the daughters. We beat them.
There's the spirit. So if you love horses and you love the mountains and you love Jesus, this is a good thing to do. You'll be doing it again next year. I don't think there's any place in the world more beautiful than Montana. It is just unbelievable.
Yep. Amen.
We're talking bioethics this hour. Let's go to when we left, we were talking to Michelle in Jacksonville, Florida, about her teenagers. And they're, on the one hand, their Catholic high school is teaching about the immorality of in vitro fertilization. And on the other hand, they have friends who they love who are the products of in vitro fertilization. These are children produced by in vitro fertilization. This presents a problem for Michelle. How do you handle that?
Michelle, that is stuff we talk about in the Trisankos household all the time as well, because I have teenagers. And, you know, when I was writing out my answers on this, I included that question because I know it's one of the hardest ones, but it was one of the most difficult ones to talk about. Fundamentally, what's at the very root of this question about in vitro fertilization, the church teaches that we are not to break the natural marital embrace. And honestly, at first, that doesn't sound like much of an argument. You know what I mean? Like, that's why you're not supposed to do it. It is at the very heart of it. But if you think about it, so what I try to do with my kids, and I don't claim to be all knowledgeable about how to talk to teenagers, but I try to back off from the individuals. I mean, first of all, we have to affirm, of course, we love those individuals. Every human person is loved by God, created by God, and it's good that they exist. But I try to back off then from individuals just to the society level and take the question to a more general level. Why should we as Catholics not support, why should we call it unethical, something that breaks the natural marital embrace? Because when you break that, you break that reliance of husband and wife on each other, and you take the childbearing gift of God into the laboratory where it's not supposed to be. And then all kinds of things flow from that. So if it were just, why can't we just do it in the lab because we so badly want to have our own genetic child? It just doesn't end there, though. So once you break that embrace and you move it to the lab, then what happens in the laboratory is that more embryos are made than the couple will need. And so then the couple's in the position to decide literally, which children do we want to freeze or donate to science or kill, and which children do we want to raise? And that's a horrible question to be put into. It changes. It's subtle, but it changes the focus from what's best for children to what do the parents want. And it comes down to the parents want a child who is genetically like them. When they could, and this is the hard thing to say, the right thing to do in that situation, and Catholic couples who are infertile, who deal with that huge burden of infertility, they know this. The thing is to adopt. There are plenty of children. Children have a right to a mother and a father, and there are plenty of children who don't. So this kind of suffering can, like every other kind of suffering in life, it can be an opportunity to love more fully, and to put children before yourself. And it's really difficult to talk about, and I understand that. And what I put in my answer in the booklet just deals with just those things. And I promise you, I was writing that as if I were talking to a situation with teenagers who have friends, just like you mentioned.
Michelle?
Yes.
How does that sit with you?
I everything that you said is what I've actually said to my child. You know, my next one up really is kind of away from it, but my daughter, she really is very upset about this because she feels like it's almost like, don't you think they should be here? And it's like, no, and it's exactly what I said. It's the whole process of what happened in that laboratory, that there are all these her siblings that didn't make it. And she's got about five, actually. And that these children did make it. And yes, I am glad they're here. And I know them all, and they're wonderful. And their families are wonderful Catholic families, raising their kids up in the Catholic Church through the Catholic school systems. But I have not talked to the parents, but from her, they're all, apparently the parents are feeling like they almost want to pull their children out because they feel like their children are now being told that they're not legitimate, yeah. You know, and it's such a sad thing that science provided this sad opportunity, because usually we talk about, you know, people who aren't here now. Well, we are talking about people who aren't here now. You know, we're glad the individuals are here, and I'm so glad they're here. But then how do you say, well, but how they came to exist, yeah. It means a whole lot of other people didn't make it. And it's not helping. I just don't know. I'm just really having, except just to say, you know what, compassion. I'm, it's sad that this whole situation exists. You know, I'm not trying, because she thinks I'm actually trying to say they shouldn't be here, and that, yes, they should have adopted.
But nobody is saying that.
No.
So that's a little bit of reality testing there. I mean, have you ever heard someone say that? I mean, that's because it's, I think sometimes you can get stuck on that. That's the implication of the message, but that's the implication you're taking from it, but it's not the message. As a matter of fact, it's the goodness of God is that God kept his promise. When that sperm and egg, however they came together, zipped up a new set of DNA, God kept his promise and delivered a soul to that person and delivered life to that person. God was faithful. That's not, no one's saying that that's not a good thing, the faithfulness of God. Stacey, you want to finish?
on something like that, like, I think you get to a point sometimes where there's really nothing more you can say, and you just become a broken record and repeat the same things over and over again. It's not about the people who already exist. It's about what's ethical going forward, and that it puts the focus more on the parents' desires than on what's best for children. So going forward, don't do that. Going forward, find another way. But keep putting the focus on moving forward, not on what's already here, because nobody says that those children are not legitimate. And maybe that's what we need to do, is just keep repeating that, because God forbid those children actually grow up thinking that. I mean, we need to make sure, people need to make sure that those kids never think that.
Michelle, thanks so much for the call. We do have to take a break. I just want to mention, as an adoptive father, I always want to say, because you mentioned adoption, and I think people are squeamish about adoption for some reason. And I like to say this just to remind people, your adopted child is just as precious to you as your other children. And in my case, I love her more than the other children. So you want to just keep that in mind if you're resisting adoption. I hope my kids aren't listening. We'll be right back with more Dr. Stacey Drosenkos on bioethics, the science of life and death, right after this.
Hang on, we'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, Carlo Broussard here. Can you feel the heat? Summer is upon us. Things are heating up, my friends, and that includes our first ever summer book sale and the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, we've got dozens of great books offered at $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. So you can load up on solid Catholic books for yourself, your friends, and your family. This spectacular online event offers saving of 50% and more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of esteemed authors, evangelists, and apologists, including yours truly. We've even got all of the books in our Catholic Answers Classics series marked down. Log on now and all this month to the store at shop.catholic.com and take advantage of what will be one of the most exciting sales of the summer. You know it's all good stuff, because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers. Log on to shop.catholic.com and start saving today.
Pope Francis said, "All of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clearer witness to the gospel. St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Dr. Stacey Drosenkos. I said that I love my adopted daughter more than the other children, and I really want to take that back. I hope I didn't hurt anybody. I like her better than the other children, but I don't love her more. Sorry, I'm just mischievous today. I just feel mischievous. Let's go to Jillian in Dayton, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel's Radio. Jillian, you are on with Dr. Drosenkos. Your question, please.
Hi, I am very worried about what I've been reading, just kind of backhandedly, about the potential of human cloning. And how does that fit into all of this discussion? Because I kind of think that's going to happen one of these days, kind of sooner than later.
That was a very straightforward question, and it's an excellent question. And you pretty much answered it the same way that I do, Jillian. So there's human cloning. First of all, there are a number of reasons, and I'll just try to break it down. And I don't have a question about this specifically in the book because I thought it went into too many details. But I did have to give an answer to it in my head just to think about it. Cloning. if all that we were talking about was taking the DNA and asexually reproducing another person, first of all, cloning would be unethical for the same reason that I just explained about IVF. It breaks the natural marital embrace. Children have a right to a mother and a father. So there's that. The next thing, though, is the only way that any scientist is ever going to figure out how to clone a human is to kill humans in the process. So as you're as they are doing the research, as they're creating human embryos and trying to grow them as far as they can, and by the way, they can create a human embryo in the lab and grow it up to 14 days now. And there are actually ethical questions about, wait, now what do we do? Because they can grow them so long in the laboratory, longer than ever. So it would be unethical for that thing I said in the beginning, don't kill an innocent person. It would require, to develop the technology would require killing more innocent person. So there's two reasons why it's unethical. However, as we both know, and just like you went right to the heart of, Jillian, the scientists are going to do it anyway. I mean, that's a fact. We as Catholics are supposed to speak the truth and defend the truth. But yeah, they're not going to stop trying. And there probably will come a day, just to be honest, where they get close to it or they do something like clone humans. It could happen. And what do we do then? Well, you can imagine this future where what if there are cloned humans walking around among us? Okay, we get back to Catholic simple truths. If they're human bodies, they have a human soul. We love them. We treat them with dignity. And actually, if that day ever comes, the people who understand Catholic bioethics, like we've been talking about, those will be the people who will step up to those other people who were created like lab rats and say, you know, we're going to love you. We're going to figure out how to include you in society. We're going to love you. We're going to deal with the human dignity part. So that's kind of how I look at the whole question. And like I said, you went right to the heart of it. What do we do when it happens? We get ready to treat them like any other person.
Jillian?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the question, Jillian. The questions are multiplying as the science of biology just grows by leaps and bounds. I have a follow-on to Jillian's question, and I wonder if you can help me with this. There's some idea that a person who lost their kidneys, for example, and might need replacement kidneys. There's some idea that you could make an animal-human hybrid that could grow kidneys for this person, like mix the DNA of the person with the DNA. People talk about a pig, I guess because pigs make kidneys very similar to ours, and that you could transplant these into the person. What about that level of cloning, where I'm not trying to create another person, but I'm trying to create replacement parts by creating creatures that have within them human DNA?
Yeah, there's actually a company that was in the news recently, back around 2014 or so. It's called Ganogen Research Institute in Redwood City, California. And it was co-founded by two graduate students, biology students. And they're trying to do that. They're trying to grow a bank of organs so that when humans who are sick need organ transplants, there is a bank of organs ready to go. And it sounds great. It sounds like a good idea, except that the way they are growing these organs is that they're using materials from human fetuses. They're using fetuses from abortion, and they're either taking the organs out of those and putting them into pigs to grow until they get to a certain size, or they're using cells from those tissues. And so, again, it gets back to that part. Well, you can't do this if it's going to require killing innocent humans to get the organ bank to cure sick humans.
I see. Oh, it becomes like the I don't know if you ever saw that science fiction movie, The Island, where you basically take replacement parts from – you have like a replacement version of yourself that you take your replacement parts from. I imagine that there are people who will say that that's not wrong, especially if it's just a little baby or it's even a child before being born. Go ahead.
I was going to interject real quick because I think this is an important thing to say. There are ethicists who don't adhere to Catholic teaching, And just like I was saying about body and soul, there are ethicists who argue that it's actually unethical, it's immoral to throw away aborted fetuses because they could be used. They could be used for research, they could be used for their organs, they could be used for something. And they actually argue that it's unethical to throw them away, which that's horrifying.
Well, yeah, it's a completely utilitarian, isn't it? This is just,
yes.
It's there, we must use. And it turns a human being into a product. I suppose that's at the root of so many of these problems, is we're thinking of a human being as a product instead of a human being as a gift from God.
Exactly.
Let's go to Chris. I don't have a location, but he's listening on 106.3 FM. Chris, your question for Dr. Trusenkos. Hey, Chris, I don't know if you're talking to us or somebody else, but if you are on a phone, you got to take it off of Bluetooth or hands-free and talk right into the phone. If that's not the problem, you need to climb up out of the well that you are currently standing in and speak to us from the open and free air. Are you there, Chris?
Hello?
Oh, hi, Chris. Your question for Dr. Trusenkos.
Oh, hi. Sorry. This is the first time calling. Sorry, I had my phone set down.
No problem. Happy to have you, Chris.
Me and my wife were talking, and we got onto the topic of contraceptions instead of abortion. You guys were talking earlier about, not abortion. We would never do abortion. We don't believe in abortion. But when it comes to contraceptives, we're not sure what to say on that. Like, I mean, obviously the child, as soon as it is conceived, it is a human. But what about before?
Oh, great question, Chris. May I ask you, are you asking that as a Catholic? Are you a Catholic yourself, or are you just would like
it? I am a Catholic. Okay. And I believe in no using contraceptives, but...
You want to know why?
My wife has brought... What?
You would like to know why?
I want to know why. I've never quite understood. I always knew abortion was wrong, but I don't know about my contraceptives because, I mean...
Okay.
You're not a child yet. Like, it hasn't even been conceived.
Fair enough, Chris. I'm going to let Dr. Trusenkos answer. And if her answer goes right up to the end of the show, stay on the line. I want to send you some reading materials. But Dr. Trusenkos.
Yeah, and I'm going to refer back to the Second Vatican Council's Humanae Vitae, which is coming up on its 50-year anniversary. It affirms that marriage is ordained towards the procreation and education of children. And so the way I put it in my own words about responsible parenthood, what you said ties in with the way I think about it, too. It's like the church is saying you have to be good parents even before your children come along. You have to be so committed to your marriage because marriage is, they say, it's a reflection of the Holy Trinity. I mean, all of our relationships are, but the marital relationship is particularly intimate. It is the most intimate relationship. It's when two people give of themselves completely, and that's what the Holy Trinity is about. The Father conceived the Son so perfectly. He gave all of himself to the Son except to be the Son. And so we also are called to be in communion with each other. And marriage is that most perfect, most intimate communion. And so what the church is really saying, and I think it's beautiful, and I had to struggle with these things in my own life as well. And I found this part to be the most confidence-giving aspect. It's saying you have to work on being the best wife and the most open and giving and receiving and loving wife to your husband even before you have children, or even before a child is conceived, so that when the child is conceived, that the child is conceived and loved, and you're both ready for the procreation and education of those children, because the next 18 years are not going to be easy ones. but I love that part of it. It's really thinking about the child before the child's even there, just like you said.
Chris, any comment?
I completely agree with you, I really don't have much to say. I just completely agree with that.
All right, Chris, if you could hang on, I want to send you a copy of our most recent copy of Catholic Answers magazine. It was completely devoted to the issue of contraception and to the Pope's document from 1968, Pope Paul VI, Humanae Vitae. Hang on, and Marie will get your address if you're willing to give it to us. Dr. Stacey Trusankos, thank you so much for another great hour.
Thank you.
Thanks for putting up with my tomfoolery as well. Oh, there it is. There's the black cowboy hat. And I know you're going to be on one more time with us at sometime this summer at least, and then people can meet you in person at the big conference September 27th.
Yes.
All right. If you want to do that, if you want to come to our conference, CatholicAnswersConference.com. Again, Dr. Trusankos, thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. 2 hours of open forum tomorrow. Jimmy Akin will be here the first hour, Jim Blackburn the second hour. If you've got a question on the Catholic faith, we'll do our best to answer it then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.